This is the Drive and Dish Podcast. Talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
His shooting percentage is down. He doesn't look good on the court. We all know the crap that happened over the summer. He's disgruntled. They traded his brother. They were trying to replace him with LaMarcus Aldridge. We get it.
Kevin Rayfuse.
Good, but I don't want to be stuck in the limbo of mediocrity. I don't want to gamble that maybe one day there's a Harden trade out there. I don't want to gamble that some team is going to be stupid and let a Steve Nash walk out the door and go to Phoenix the way Dallas did, where you stumble upon a superstar.
And Justin Kuzak.
They've got Batum, Lamb, Jeremy Lin, Spencer Hawes. They're up to about 35% as a team, which is actually 13th in the NBA. And Nicholas Batum is playing like an all-star right now.
Well, if you like that, you're going to love this.
Well, if anything, this is the point where we all sit there and get real excited.
Let's do this!
Let's go.
So if you've ever listened to the Drive and Dish podcast, or if you've been listening to the show for a while, we talked about driving a few times, mainly the fact that Tim Tompkins doesn't believe in using turn signals.
Because he doesn't want people to know where he's going.
Which is
none of their business.
Which is quite possibly like, you are the absolute worst. Like, you, I'm not even going to sugarcoat. You are the absolute worst if you don't use your turn signal.
It is nobody's business where I am going.
No, but it's my...
I don't need to broadcast my life.
It's my business that you're putting my safety at risk because you don't want to use your turn signal.
No, I make sure there is plenty of room. I always look over my shoulder because I'm deathly afraid of... not catching somebody in my blind spot.
No, but you're going to throw the... And that's good. That is a good driving practice. But you're going to throw my momentum if I'm driving a certain speed when you just decide to switch lanes without warning off.
Well, maybe you shouldn't drive at that speed.
You know, maybe you shouldn't not use your turn signal and get into my lane. But that's besides the point. Because soon, maybe none of us will be driving. Google, for a while, has been working on self-driving cars, which is pretty sweet. A good piece of the future. I know, personally, I'm really excited for this. But Tim has been really fired up about this week.
Well, Google says that their computers qualify as drivers, as people, essentially.
Ah.
And so does the computer of a self-driving car qualify as a person?
Well, yeah, because it probably drives better than a person.
Yeah, but I still won't trust it.
No, so we've had this discussion before, and there's this huge moral dilemma over this, because let's say your self-driving car can see the fact that by running you into a brick wall, it'll kill you, but by doing that, it saved a family of five.
Have you ever seen
driving in their car? Is it the computer's responsibility? Is that ethically and morally right to prioritize life, though?
Computers do that. Like, that's how computers work, is they prioritize and they move things around. It's all analytical, and there's no eye test. You know what I'm saying? But like, have you ever seen iRobot?
No. Yeah.
In iRobot, Will Smith's character is like, he's got this like PTSD because he was in a car crash, and the robot who's instructed is one of the three laws of the robot is to... I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this for whoever might want to
watch. The movie came out 2004.
Spoiler alert.
but the robot had to prioritize his life or a kid's life, and the kid's life was farther in the car, and the car was sinking. Mm-hmm. So instead of grabbing the kid, who Will Smith kept saying, get the kid, I can get
right
out.
I remember that actually, yes.
It grabbed him,
right.
And so... it's like that, kind of. When you were explaining it, that's what came to my mind.
Yeah, so it brings up the debate, and it's a real debate that these engineers have to have, is it up to the computer to decide what life is more valuable than other life?
And right, if like a crash is inevitable, mm-hmm. then... like, how are they going to approach that?
Yeah, are they going to communicate with each other and be the other car can say, well, I have four people in this car. You only have two people in this car.
All right. Well, on a more positive note, since you guys are really just making this dark and depressing.
Well, no, it's not dark and depressing. It's a great ethical debate that we as a civilization, I guess, are going to have when it comes to like self-driving cars.
Oh,
well, you know,
it's
really interesting.
But the good thing is... the Google car they've taken out on the self-driving thing. I think it's been like, I don't remember the exact number, but it's been, I think, 1,500 times. And it's only gotten into an accident once. You know the one time it got into an accident? It's when the person who was in the car put it on manual driving mode.
they could also communicate with each other and then start a revolution against the human race, like they
and
did in
just
iRobot.
Kill us all.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's what that's gonna like that's going to happen. Like you guys realize that like robots are going to be like this. We've seen this movie how many times? Stephen Hawking, for God's sake, predicts that that's humanity's most dangerous.
I absolutely agree. You know, NASA has said, not NASA, but somebody that studies extraterrestrials has recently said that it's a really good chance that when we've met alien life, we've actually met AIs. Because any alien technology, any alien life form that was able to get to this planet could probably most likely have AI, and that's who they would send on these intergalactic missions.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, you don't,
Alan
I
Iverson?
Mean, really, we should send Alan Iverson to other planets. That'd be a great representation. It really would. No one else is a great representation. This show, the Drive Dish NBA podcast.
Debatable.
My name is Kevin Rafuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
Ball don't lie, but your statement, Kevin, kind of depends on who was leaving the iTunes review.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Kuzart.
I got hot sauce in my bag, hashtag swag, LOL, Queen Bee.
Devin Booker.
No.
No.
Nerlens Noel.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see his tweet.
Yeah, he tweeted like 5 hours ago.
That song's starting a lot of controversy that we're not going to wade into today.
Yeah,
but
yeah, no. No, we don't need to get into that.
Yeah,
today.
But that being said, hot sauce is great. What's your guys' go-to hot sauces? Quick, go.
Louisiana, but in Arizona, we had like hundreds of really great quality hot sauces, and I miss it. So now it's like, all right, give me some sriracha and some Louisiana. It's sad.
Yeah.
But I put it on everything I eat.
I've been using Frank's hot sauce. Frank's.
Yeah,
whatever.
I use Frank's. I use sriracha.
Yeah.
Really underrated hot sauce is green Tabasco.
I like green sauces. I just don't really think to get them.
Yeah. Have you ever had the green Tabasco, though?
I think once.
It's really damn good.
I'll have to check it out next time because like it's usually around. And I like the Chipotle Tabasco.
Yeah.
I don't like the original Tabasco at all, though. I think it's super overrated.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're absolutely right, Kevin. The green one, though. You got to try the green one.
I'll check out the green one again.
But anyway, each week on the show, we like to give you guys a shout-out for giving us a shout-out because it really does help us out. And this week, we have one from...
Yeah, this one's from Australia. It's a 5-star review from Huchasaurus Rex.
On iTunes.
On iTunes, yes. Called Great Podcast is the title of the review. And the review goes, brilliant podcast, entertaining, informative, with great humor. At first, Justin's voice annoyed me, parentheses, sorry, mate. But now I find it as a valued addition. More episodes a week, the better. Great work, guys. Well, I guess this is a good time to say we have 3 episodes dropping this week, so it fits the theme.
It's sort of, we're doing a mid-season review of all the teams, so we're setting a time. We're going to talk about each team for 3 minutes.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Part of the reason we're doing this is because we've been wanting to do it for a few weeks, but we thought with the All-Star break, this would be a great time to, you know, drop a 3-part episode while you're lacking basketball content. But I hope that you are catching up on some basketball games on your league pass.
I'm not sure if people do that.
I'm sure most people are probably, you know, watching the All-Star game.
Right. Well, I mean, there's not basketball for like 9 days.
I'm sure the basketball players love that time off, too.
Oh, dude,
great.
Those players that don't make the All-Star game, I'm sure. Like, I was watching the games right before the All-Star break. And you could tell everybody was just like, I want a week and a half vacation.
Oh, thank you so much. Like, I mean, it's like that week before you actually go on like a summer vacation with your job.
Oh, dude, you check out. Like when I go to Costa Rica in 2 weeks, those last 2 days of work, man, I'm not going
to
do anything.
If
I
have
really
to listen
hope my boss
to,
doesn't hear
I just
this.
Want you to come back from Costa Rica so I can stop hearing about you going to Costa Rica.
It's going to be sweet. Just lost your souvenir.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know. Now.
If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, lots of trade rumors in this one. The Miami Heat and Houston Rockets are reportedly discussing a trade centered around Dwight Howard and Hassan Whiteside. Howard is expected to opt out of his contract to become a free agent this offseason, and the Heat do not own Whiteside's bird rights. Might be worth it for both teams. The Cavs are unlikely to re-sign Timofey Mozgov this offseason if they don't trade him ahead of the deadline. He's a very tradable player, only $5 million on his salary this season, and he'll be in unrestricted free agent. Last year, you would have thought he was going to get the max contract, but he's had a very disappointing season this year. The Los Angeles Clippers are reportedly pursuing a trade package of Blake Griffin and Lance Stevenson for Gallinari, Fareed, Will Barton, and Nikola Jokic. Denver has turned it down because Blake will be a free agent after next season. Doc Rivers, however, has denied this rumor. Ricky Rubio is reportedly available for a trade. Rubio is averaging just 9 points, 8 assists in 30 minutes per game this season. He's only 25 years old, but the Wolves are clearly building around Towns and Wiggins. The All-Star games were this weekend, and Russell Westbrook took home his second straight All-Star Game MVP award. Klay Thompson won the 3-point shootout, and Karl Anthony Towns won the Skills Challenge, and as you know, Zach LaVine won the dunk contest. That's your news for this week.
Something.
What we wanted to do a few weeks ago, but we again decided to drop this for you at the beginning of All-Star Week because we know you guys are out of basketball, so this is a little bit late of a mid-season review. So we're going to spend 3 minutes on each team. That way the episodes don't go 2.5 hours. Again, we're going to split this up into three parts for you. The first part, we're going to do teams in the East and the West that are wholeheartedly out of the playoffs unless everybody else in the league gets injured. There's just zero chance they're going to make it.
Yeah, basically we're saving the good stuff for last.
Right.
You know.
Well, depending on how you look at it.
Well, I mean, it is the good stuff, though. Like, the teams that are actually, like, kind of fun to watch.
Well, I think that you can watch some of these teams that are in the ball. Like, I think the Timberwolves, for example, are a lot of fun to watch right now.
Sure. There are a few of them. But for the most part, a lot of these teams just are, they're kind of bad.
Right. All right. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to start in the West, and let's start with the Lakers.
All right. The Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, what is there to say about these guys? It's the Kobe farewell tour. It's the whole season has been dominated by that. Do I think the Lakers are... I mean, the Lakers are terrible. The good thing is...
Well, let's go over the record, yeah? On the road, they are 5-26. At home, they are 6-18. They've won 11 games. They've lost 44, and I feel like they need to get that top three pick, so they need to be one of the three worst teams in the league, and right now, barring... Well, you know, the Suns could actually catch up with them, but... I think it's possible they're going to keep the pick.
Yeah, I think it's more likely they're going to keep their pick than not. I mean, Brooklyn is terrible. The Suns are terrible. And I think the Lakers have...
Don't forget about Philly being terrible.
Philly is terrible, but right. I'm not worried about us catching anybody. The Lakers are kind of in that pack. Philly has 8 wins. The Lakers have 11. You know, they're realistically going to win some more games. I don't know if they're going to win more than those other teams are. The Lakers can't play defense to save their lives. Their defensive rating right now is 106 points. They just oftentimes look uninterested. Byron Scott is probably the worst coach in the league.
You got to give Jordan Clarkson credit, though. He's been following up his last 2014-2015 season with a pretty good season this year.
I don't want to make it seem like it's doom and gloom. Like, Julius Randle is a really nice piece. It's good to see him getting some meaningful minutes this year. Clarkson, like Justin said, I still think D'Angelo Russell has the potential to be really good if Byron Scott doesn't ruin him, which he is well on his way to doing. I mean, I've just never seen so badly mismanagement of young talent.
Why aren't the younger guys playing in the
Byron Scott had a quote earlier this year where he was like, I don't want to play D'Angelo Russell in the fourth quarter of a close game because, you know, I want my guys to, like, he's not ready for that experience. But then he wasn't playing D'Angelo Russell in the fourth quarter of blowouts either. And so it's just kind of like, what exactly, like, if he can't handle a blowout, what's he ever going to handle?
Larry Nance Jr.'s shown some flashes as well. So they've got bright spots in their young guys. Obviously, it's the Kobe, Kobe's last year, so it's more focused on that. I wish the Sixers had that to cover up how bad they were.
Well, that's the thing. It's a really, really nice cover up. When everyone's saying goodbye to a legend that is Kobe Bryant, you know, it's a good farewell for him. But Kobe said it in the other, like, they asked Kobe, what's the hardest part of the farewell tour? And he was just like, the fact that we suck. Yeah. And I just said, yo, that's a great way to sum it up. The Lakers are just not a good basketball team.
30th in assists per game, 18.
They're actually surprisingly, they're above league average in guarding the three. So, you know, that's
something. Kobe still leads the team in points and assists per game.
Their 2-point field goal percentage, though, is they're giving up over 50% so in the paint, which is a little bit surprising considering they have Hibbert. Roy Hibbert.
Yeah.
Dude, Roy Hibbert is just like a skeleton at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, they're already talking about moving on from him. They're trying to move Nick Young, is what reports are saying. But just
they have the worst point differential in the league.
God,
right now.
It's just Roy Hibbert was an All-Star 3 years ago.
They're also the best rebounding team in the league.
the best rebounding.
Yeah, they have grabbed more rebounds than any other team in the league at 2,590 compared to the Utah Jazz at the very bottom with 2,098.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
But what would you guys grade the Lakers?
I give them a solid B, and I'm going to go with
a B.
Yeah, because I feel like they're accomplishing every single thing that they set out to do this season. They're giving Kobe his farewell tour while keeping that top three pick.
Okay, well, when you word it that way, I agree. I gave them a D because they're terrible. No, but they're just not, like, I don't know. I think there was a little bit of expectation with the team just to kind of at least win, I don't know, what, 25 games?
Well, I respect him. Like, I respect Tim's thinking, a little out-of-box thinking, because I'm going
to
be kind of out of the box with
that.
Some of these ratings. Like, I'm not just going
to
give every bad team a D or an F. But, oh, yeah, no way Lakers get above a D for me. And the only reason they're not getting an F is because they have Randall and Clarkson and Russell. I mean, this is, yeah, they're giving Kobe Bryant his farewell tour, but they're also ruining their number two overall pick or just have horrendous coaching and is teaching them bad habits. Oh, Lakers are a solid D to me.
All right, well, I'm giving them a B. Let's move on to the second worst team in the West. My team, my love, the Phoenix Suns, which we just put up on our Facebook page, a question that you dropped.
Yeah,
Justin.
It was fun. It was so. The question is: since it's midseason reviews, what would you describe your team's first half of the season as a movie title? We've actually gotten a few in, but I'll try to hit them as we get to those teams. Tim, for your Suns, Ross said the movie Misery.
Yes.
Right to the point.
Yeah, it just got right to the point.
I mean, this season has the Suns have been injured since the beginning of the season. It never got any better. This season has just it has been an absolute and utter disaster in every way imaginable.
19th in points per game. I mean,
they have the worst defense in the league. They're allowing 47% opponent shooting. But here's the interesting thing about the Suns. Suns also, based on strength of schedule, have had the hardest schedule in the league. So if you take into account their strength of schedule, which again has been the hardest in their league,
right.
They actually have the 14th best record in the league.
Oh.
So if you average that in.
Okay. My question isn't Brandon Knight hurt?
Yes.
So then why is he still leading the team in points per game and assists per game?
You know, well, we're running out Archie Goodwin. They signed a couple of D-League players to run the point, a couple of 10-day contracts.
Okay.
I mean, at this point, David King just put up a really awesome article that said the number one priority of the Phoenix Suns is to get rid of Markieff Morris. So we all know that scuffle that him and Archie Goodwin had the other day.
Yes.
That one actually didn't seem to be totally Keefe's fault.
No, I went back.
Keefe just kind of escalated.
No, I went back and I watched the game. It happened in the beginning
of the
game.
It looked like he was coaching him, though. Like they were.
Dude, Archie Goodwin was playing like shit.
And they were talking about what he needed to do. And I can see how it worked out.
So, you know, the tip-off at the very beginning of the game where they jump up, they hit it back. Tyson Chandler got the tip. And Archie Goodwin just didn't go get it, and it bounced out, and then the Golden State Warriors started. Another one was there was a rebound. The Golden State Warriors shot a shot. It rebounded off the side of the backboard over at the strong side, and Archie Goodwin just ran away, and then Klay Thompson went and gathered the rebound.
For like a cherry pick almost type thing?
Yeah, he just ran away from the rebound, and Archie Goodwin was playing like shit. So I'm no longer mad at Keith for that. However, Ryan McDonough has made 13 trades since he took over
probably
as general manager,
more.
And he hasn't made a single one in 7 months. If you're going to trade, now's the time to do it.
Okay, so grades.
F.
F, okay. I gave him a D, too, because the only thing...
I mean,
thing...
I would have given him an F minus if I could.
I mean, you can if you want to. The thing with them is I think they've been the biggest disappointment this year in any of the teams, mainly because they had so much expectations. We were all talking about how we wanted them to be in the playoffs. You know,
or
fighting
at least in contention for
the playoffs, and it just injuries, Markieff, and the dumpster fire that is everything about them right now.
Right.
Yeah, I give him a D minus.
And Earl Watson's a joke.
They tried to win games. They fired their coach. Everybody's injured. They have one of their best players is just constantly getting into fights with everybody on the team. They're running out of D-League roster.
You got Booker,
right now.
Though.
Like, yeah, you have Devin Booker.
But the long-term outlook is great. We have
yeah,
cap.
You have a ton of money.
We have young assets. We have lots of draft picks.
Yeah, it's not a state of the franchise by any means.
It's not
like,
the
these
Nets.
Grades aren't a state of the franchise, because then the Nets would be a perpetual F for the next 5 years.
Right.
But if we're talking strictly this season, yeah, Tim hit it on the head. They had expectations. Suns are an F.
Absolute disaster. Moving on, let's go to another team that's bad but is a lot of fun to watch. That is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
God, they're everything that I wanted the Sixers to do in the draft is what the Timberwolves have had the next year, and it's broken so well. You have Andrew Wiggins, you have Karl-Anthony Towns, Ricky Rubio's playing some quality ball this year.
And he's remained healthy.
Mostly. There's depth on the team.
Gorgui Dieng has been really good. Shabazz Muhammad's been really good. I do think that they could probably not play Tayshaun Prince so much.
Well, and you gotta maybe.
Probably. He should probably just be like a veteran presence at this point.
Yeah, you know,
like glued to the bench.
Or 3 or 4 minutes at the end of the first through the beginning of the second.
But look,
type
this is the thing I take away from it. Andrew Wiggins is stepping up again. 20.8 points per game, leading the team. Rubio's healthy, like we said, leading in assists, like we would assume.
Rubio, not to cut you off, because we'll go right back to your point. Did you know Rubio actually leads all guards in plus minus on teams that are sub 500?
Huh. Okay. Anyway. Well, no, and Karl-Anthony Towns, we haven't mentioned him, candidate for Rookie of the Year.
He is the Rookie of the Year. There's no one else. Yeah. If he doesn't win Rookie of the Year award needs to get thrown out the window.
Field goal percentage at about 54%, defense 10.1 rebounds per game, and 1.8 blocks per game. Definitely a great fit with the team.
His ceiling is through the roof. He'd be a great fit with any team. I mean, we're talking about a center that can step back and hit the three. I mean, the ceiling is quite literally unlimited for Karl-Anthony Towns. He could very well be the best player in the league. Like, I don't want to, you know, he's got that Anthony Davis hype for me.
Don't forget, Zach LaVine's 30 points and 7 rebounds in the Rising Stars Challenge.
Yeah, I mean, that means nothing. I'm still
He's a rising star. He's the number one rising star.
No, I'm so not convinced. I'm still not convinced at all that Zach LaVine's a very good basketball player. But when you have Towns and Wiggins, it doesn't really matter that much.
The only thing that's they're above league average as far as guarding the three-point line. Opponent two-point percentage, though, is bottom of the league, right down there with the Lakers, the Nets, the Suns, then the Timberwolves, and then after that you have the Rockets and the Wizards, Kings. But
yeah, the Wolves just don't really have a four either, is where they could.
Well,
they
don't play Gorgui Dieng at the four, and I really feel like they can.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it a bit, and they've had some success at it. The Timberwolves, they need a coach, they need new management. And they have a really bright future, but they need to get their house in order before.
You don't like Sam Mitchell?
No. I feel like they can really take this core and go forward. But they are in a couple of years, like we've talked about it, they're going to have real decisions to make as far as salary issues.
Well, of course. And they have like we said, they have the two guys who you realistically want going forward. But like, there are still flaws in this roster. Like, we mentioned Ricky Rubio, but like, the fact of the matter is Ricky Rubio still can't shoot. He's shooting 34% on
and
the
he doesn't
year.
Really
like, that's
fit
never
going to
get fixed at this point. And again, the timeline fit is questionable. I still think.
Dude, Ricky Rubio's 24. He fits in the timeline just fine. As long as they can put Ricky Rubio with shooting. He's fine.
Yeah, and it's just consistency, like I said. You know, I want to see more consistency out of LaVine. Even Shabazz Muhammad, I want to see a little more consistency out of Shabazz Muhammad. But this team has a lot of great pieces moving forward, and when it looks like you already have, you know, your superstar, then you can keep on moving forward and keep on going up.
So
when I grade this team, like, I'm pretty satisfied. Like, they're still not a very good team, but I'm kind of like in between. I'm gonna give them like a D plus or a C minus.
I give them a C because they're just, to me, they're average, but they're exciting average. So they're on the upswing,
right? Yeah. Like, they're gonna be better in a few
years. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna give them a B minus. This team was expected to win between 25 and 30 games. They're at 17 right now, and I feel like it being the midseason, there's a really good chance that they hit that mark. And what we were looking for this season out of this team was some real improvement as far as a win-loss percentage goes, and I feel like they're going to be able to do that. So, you know, stop with the Tayshaun Prince and win a couple of games, and I feel like they're on the right track.
All right, so the next team on the list is the New Orleans Pelicans, who, you know, a lot of us had expectations for. They made the playoffs last year. They got in with a pretty inspiring run to get into the eighth seed, but hasn't really been that great so far. They're 13-26 at the time of recording this episode. Anthony Davis has been, dealing with injuries all season, recently with a concussion. But, I mean, they just the theme for me is they got to get Anthony Davis some help. I mean, we worried about them being a one-man team. And, again, it kind of looks like that. And, granted, they've dealt with a lot of injuries this year. Tyreke Evans out for the season again. Eric Gordon has his annual major injury that knocks him out for the season. Drew Holiday's been coming back off a stress fracture, and we know that takes time. And he was on a minutes restriction to start the season. I mean, Ryan Anderson's a nice player, but, Anthony Davis, their backup, Ashik is their backup. Okay, that's cool. Alonzo Gee is in the front court, which, again, nothing too inspiring. See, there.
So when you take the over-under 20 different starting lineups for the Pelicans this season, over-under 20.
Oh, over.
Oh, gosh. Oh, how many are they at now? I feel like...
24.
Okay, I was going to say.
They have Alonzo Gee, Cunningham, and Norris Cole starting in their lineup right now.
Here's the way
They have been, and it's been a disappointment, but they have been arguably one of the most injured teams in the league.
My thing with the team is it looks like they went back to when Anthony Davis they went back to hit. It's just him. There's no one around him to really help. And
the whole damn team's been injured.
Well, right.
Everyone's talking about how he's regressed this season. He's averaging career highs in points per game, rebounds per game, blocks per game. His PER is at 25.8. I understand he's been injured. He's still putting up numbers.
He's been less efficient.
Well, he's less efficient, sure, but he's their only option. It doesn't. Neglecting the fact that no one on the Pelicans plays defense beyond Anthony Davis. Like, they really struggle to guard the 1-4 position. I know he can make up for a lot of it. It's just, I think a lot of it is Anthony Davis and Anthony Davis.
Alvin Gentry told Davis to get out there, shoot some more threes, and it's one of those things, and we're going to talk about that more, I'm sure, with the Wizards coming up. But that style of ball and always trying to emulate other styles of ball, I feel like sometimes it's okay to play to your strengths. Figure out what that is and play to your strengths. I mean, the Grizzlies have been crazy successful playing to their strengths for this long, and you shouldn't, the Wizards who tried to go small this year and play fast, and of course they've been nothing but injured, but that doesn't always work out.
It's one of those things, just if you can't do it, don't do it. It's going to hurt you.
Right.
It's funny too, and one final quick point about the Pelicans before we grade them is they really are they're one of those teams where the home road split actually matters. The Pelicans are 14-12 at home, and they're 6-21 on the road.
Right. They're just terrible on the road.
They got to figure out how to win some games there, but let's do some grades. What do we got for the Pelicans?
I'm going to give them a D because of their expectation this year was to be in the playoffs. Kind of similar feeling around the Suns. They were supposed to be there fighting for a spot. Progress would have been making the playoffs, and they're not going to do that. Do they even make 45 wins this season?
No.
So, yeah, no, D.
Yeah, I have a C-. And that's just being nice because they've been injured.
Factor injuries is part of it, for better or for worse, personally, in my reviews. But, yeah, I'm giving them a D. That's just they had expectations this year, and they failed to meet them. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to give...
And the Alvin Gentry effect, too. They failed in every aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to give any team, Anthony Davis is playing too well for me to give him an F, but they're borderline. They're closer to D- than D+, put it that way. So the final team we're looking at in the West is the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets currently are 22-32.
And that's my question. Do we technically believe they're really out? They're still kind of there.
No, Denver's got life. I mean, they could still... The Western Conference, I mean, as of recording this, Utah is the 8 seed. Utah's got 26 wins. Portland's got 27. Houston's got 27. And then it's Sacramento and Denver both have 22. So they have a little bit to go to kind of get back at it. Does anything about Denver make you think they're going to make that leap this year?
I mean, no, but they're surprisingly more exciting than I thought they'd be. Gallinari's averaging almost 20 points per game. Moutier, almost 6 assists. Kenneth Faried's averaging a 55% field goal percentage.
Moutier also, he scored 30 points and 10 assists in the losing effort in the Rising Star Challenge. So it's something.
Yep, they're only a minus 2.9 point differential. They're 5-for-5 in their last 10. These guys, I feel like nobody's really paying attention to them because the Nuggets actually ranked dead last in home attendance last season. They deserved that. They were terrible. And I don't, 6 weeks. Right. So, I mean, I just think you got Will Barton. He's exciting. You got Gallinari.
Will Barton, you guys think he's a lead candidate for MIP or...
Or sixth man,
sixth
even.
Man, yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I think he's got to be in the mix for both of those awards. I think the strides he's taken this year. And Denver's got young assets. I mean, Justin brought up Gallinari first is the point I want to make. Gallinari is played so well off the knee injury that if you trade Gallinari, you can get some serious value.
It's surprising to see how hard everybody's playing for Mike Malone. Like, he's got the players.
Mike Malone was a good coach in Sacramento too, and then they fired him for no reason. Well, like, that's still, like, that to me, of all the dysfunction that Sacramento has had over the last few years, like, that is one of the most egregious decisions they made. Mike Malone is a good coach.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they wrote him off. He was overachieving with Sacramento too.
Well, and the thing with Moutier, he was injured when, you know.
Well, Moutier's been injured.
Yeah.
Really, I've heard rumblings that there's a lot of players that are on the Nuggets are. They like Moutier, but Moutier, he turns the ball over a lot. He doesn't help their numbers. And a lot of players, they're playing for their next contract. They're playing so they can be traded. They're playing so they can, you know, be considered for an all-star team, whatever their individual reason is. And a lot of these older guys are just like, we're happy you're developing Moutier. But at the end of the day, like, our numbers do matter.
Yeah,
do you guys think that they're buyers or sellers on the trade market?
I think they should be sellers, but I mean, with the indication, I mean, they haven't traded Fareed. They haven't traded Gallinari. Granted, the deadline is
I've heard rumblings of them trading Fareed up to Toronto and over to the Clippers.
Right, and they could. Yeah. And I think they should be selling because I think they have, you know, I understand the frustration that would come with playing with Moutier because Moutier is not a great shooter either. He plays a very fast pace, and like we said, he turns the ball over a lot.
Surprisingly, not that great at free throw percentage either, 61%.
No, he's never been a good shooter. Like, he's not, like, Moutier's flaw going into the draft is that he's not a good shooter. Like, we kind of knew that was going to happen. I mean, they're just like, they're Denver. Like, there's some exciting pieces there, but there's still a lot to go before they. You know, they're not going to light the world on fire. They still have a lot to go, but they have a few pieces that you want so far. And if they choose to trade Fareed or Gallinari, I think they can get a ton of value back, which I think will go a long way. You have to be encouraged by Mike Malone's coaching. You have to be encouraged by Will Barton and how well he's played this year. I mean, you haven't even met Jokic yet, who just is, you know, he's been a pleasant surprise for Denver this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's no doubt that Denver needs to be rebuilt. It's more of the question for Denver going forward is, do they want to do more of a gradual one or do they want to tear it all down this season?
So grades, what would you give them?
I give them a solid B, and that's because I feel like they've been better than expected.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted great. I think that they're developing Moutier and Jokic both really well. They're getting a lot out of Will Barton, obviously. Danilo Gallinari, playing him at a little bit of a point forward. I think that the veteran additions they made have worked out, so a solid B.
Yeah, I give them a C just because they're better than they were. They're not the most exciting team. Gary Harris averaging about 1.2 steals per game. I was impressed with their assists per game. They're 13th in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave them a C. They're growing and they're on the upswing, but they're nothing to be too excited about yet.
Man,
but
people gassed Gary Harris. They thought he was going to be really good. He's been kind of a disappointment. But yeah, I'm going to give Denver a C as well. I think they're, you know, they're average right now. And I think that grade would be a lot different depending on their trade deadline. Like, they're one of those teams that I think I kind of want to give an I almost. I want to give them an incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for now, I'll give them a C. Like, they're playing good average ball, and they've got contributions out of guys they didn't think they would, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
All right, so I guess I give them the highest grade.
Yeah.
But you're listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafews, Tim Tompkins, Justin Kuzar. Follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. Let's do some hot takes from Reddit.
Don't really hot.
It's time for hot takes from Reddit.
Hot, right?
Hot take number one.
Joel Embiid may be the greatest shooter ever. I'm calling 10 years of rings for Philly. No bullshit.
That is the spiciest of takes from Reddit.
If Embiid's healthy, and I've never changed my stance on this all along. If Embiid is healthy, he's going to be awesome. Like, it's not a question of if, it's he will be awesome. That dude was stroking threes left and right when I watched him warm up, and it's like you just watch his shooting mechanic, and it's natural the way when you watch a guy like Nerlens Noel, and it's not. But you know, that's the spiciest take of all time until he gets on the floor. Like, he hasn't been on the floor yet.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk
saying,
about.
He has a 0% 3-point percentage, 0-0-0 all the way through. Ain't nothing proved
if
yet.
If Embiid is healthy, though, it will speed the time Sixers timeline up and can stay healthy significantly.
Hot take number two.
If you get an all-world offer for Jabari Parker, you've got to take it. He's a slightly better Tobias Harris. Not really an all-star, but good. Middleton is the last person you would trade on the Bucks.
Oh, this is so spicy that I like it. I agree 100%. I've never been a high on the Jabari Parker wagon. I think it's a little bit of giving up on him early, which I'm not a fan of, but Parker to me has always been a tweener. Like, I love his offensive upside a little bit, and I think he's going to be a really, really nice player in this league for a long time, who's a good second or third option on a championship team. So, and yeah, and the way the league is going, if you get an offer that you cannot turn down for Jabari Parker, I'm talking like multiple first rounders or even a high first rounder in a loaded draft, I think you consider it. And as for the Middleton thing, yeah, the Bucks can't shoot, so you're not going to trade your only shooter.
I don't agree with that other statement. So I think Jabari Parker's fine. He's coming back from an ACL, and he's actually been pretty damn good this year.
I saw it, and I was just like, Tim was going to love this one.
I mean, you know, number two overall, he didn't play last year.
Yeah.
So I just think it's stupid to think that he's – like, I shouldn't say I think Kevin's opinion is stupid. I don't think Kevin's opinion is stupid. I think it's wrong. As far as I think the only untradeable player probably is Giannis, though.
Okay.
I think everybody else is tradable.
Well, and I think you just have to look at – you have to look at the offer. Like, I'm not saying sell low on Jabari Parker and just sell him for any kind of offer.
But if I wouldn't sell him for any pick unless it was a number one overall.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I'd sell him for a top five probably.
Yeah, like, he's been good. He just hasn't played that much. He's come back
in
from an ACL. He's been pretty good.
In a team that needs shooting, would you do it for, like, Harden? I know you hate Harden.
Oh, if you don't trade Jabari Parker for Harden, you're out of your damn mind.
I mean, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I know you wouldn't do it because you hate him.
Tim would. Right. Tim's out of his damn mind when
Speaking
it comes to James
of
Harden.
Harden.
Hot take number three.
You're going to love this. Harden has more isolations than 14 NBA teams. It's a good thing, though. I'd probably be super happy if I were on his team. I'd try super hard on defense, knowing I'd get to watch him ISO every offensive time down the court. Makes you want to play really hard defense. He's inspiring his team.
You know what's funny is I went back and I checked out the box score from the Rockets game the other day where they... Who is it that they lost to? It was the other night. Anyway, Harden...
Oh, to Portland?
To Portland, yeah. Harden and Howard were just... You know, I think Harden had 35 points, Howard had 28, and everybody else on the team had like 8, 7,
The thing,
four.
Though, with Harden, and a lot of people's argument on that is he's 8th in the league in assists. So he's still getting his fair numbers of assists, which you say are empty assists.
Right.
So... you hate those anyway.
But what is an empty assist in basketball, though? Like, it's not like hockey where you make the primary pass. So what does that mean?
An empty assist in basketball is when you're only assisting when it's super convenient. So yeah, nine times out, there's not a lot of off the ball movement. Players are just standing there. If you happen to drive, the defense happens to collapse on you, and there happens to be a shooter on the wing. You pass it, but at the end of the day, you're looking to shoot rather than to pass. Is an empty assist?
Yeah, I guess
it doesn't encourage off the ball movement. It doesn't make the players actually want to get involved in the offense because they don't think that they're going to touch the ball. So that's an empty assist.
All right.
You know, you're playing with Ricky Rubio. You know damn well he's going to pass you the ball. You're playing with Rajon Rondo. You're even playing with Westbrook to a certain extent, who his assist numbers are huge. You know that he's going to try and get you the ball. And it's, you know, Harden's just doing it when he doesn't have another choice.
I don't know. It's interesting times in Houston right now. They got to do something. And, I mean, if you have to move Dwight or Harden, you got to move Dwight. Dwight's just older and has dealt with more injuries. They need to get somebody who can coach Harden up a little bit, too. I think the firing of McHale, I said this earlier, was a little premature, and it, you know, still kind of seems this way, especially with, you know, he was on NBA Countdown, and he said he got fired because James Harden came into camp overweight, and that Dwight Howard couldn't go back-to-back practices. And James Harden, I will say, I don't know if this is an excuse, but he admitted that, you know, James Harden, for better or for worse, has been dating Khloe Kardashian, and he said, it's a huge distraction. I hated it.
Well, they broke up, so they're not doing that together.
Sure, let's blame it on that.
Well, listen, he was almost the MVP last year. Like, I want to give him some benefit of the doubt. Like, everybody has a down year. Like, James Harden shouldn't be having a down year, but I'm not ready to write James Harden off.
I didn't like him last year either. Yeah. All right, are we ready to move on? We move on to the East. We're going to start with your guys' team, the Sixers.
They're 8-45. They have a minus 10.2 point differential, worst in the league.
Hey, that being said, they are, though, the third best team at limiting threes by percentage. Teams are only shooting 24% from three-point range when they play the Sixers.
Yeah, the Sixers quietly have a good defense when Jahlil Okafor is not on the floor, and they play lineups of Nerlens Noel and Jeremy Grant. Like, the Sixers aren't a bad defensive team when they play those lineups. And you know, prior to the Ish Smith trade, I mean,
hey, that's not saying they play good defense. That's just saying teams aren't taking a lot of threes against them.
No, right. But I'm saying, no, but they do, like, the advanced numbers know that when it's Nerlens Noel and when it's Jeremy Grant, like, they aren't a bad with Covington and with Ish and with either Hollis or Sauce, that it's not really a defensive dumpster fire. Now, the grid, at the beginning of the year, when they were 1-31, it was the worst basketball I've ever seen in my life. It was horrendously awful. It was soul-sucking. It was like you couldn't even watch it. There was literally no reason to watch Sixers. Since they made the Ish Smith trade, they've become, I mean, frankly, more watchable. They've been better. They've been winning some games finally. You know, they're not going to break the, you know, pending the whole team dying, it looks like they're not going to be 9 wins and break the futility mark.
Three things I wanted to see: Okafor, Noel, and how they could develop the younger players. You got Okafor averaging 17 points a game. You got Nerlens Noel shooting about 53% field goal percentage. And then T.J. McConnell has been a kind of really exciting little spot.
Yeah, no, T.J.
They've been getting a lot of calls for trades for one of those two bigs, too.
Oh, T.J. McConnell, well, then that's the question.
And Jeremy Grant's been pretty exciting, too.
Jeremy Grant's been a great find, but it's just the thing with the Sixers this year compared to last year is, like, they haven't done anything this year that I haven't already known. Which is a little disappointing. Like, I already knew Robert Covington can shoot the three and is a pretty capable wing defender and off the bench one day will be an awesome small forward. I already knew Nerlens Noel was one of the best defenders in the league. I already knew Jeremy Grant could, you know, have this potential to be a defensive juggernaut, which he's slowly kind of turning into. It's just the fact of the matter is it's tough for me to be optimistic about this team when Jahlil Okafor doesn't fit. Like,
yeah.
You just can't deny it at this point. Jahlil Okafor is going to be an excellent NBA player, and I think there are ways for the Sixers to play him, but you cannot play him and Nerlens Noel together. It does not work. And that, to me, really puts a damper on, is going to put a damper on my grade for this team.
You don't
team.
Think
it's just
that
unfortunate.
They can learn, though?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because just everything, every advanced number that I've seen, every time they play together, that you can't take Nerlens away from the rim. And you can't hide Jahlil on force, which is what they're trying to do right now. Like, Nerlens Noel is just not a power forward. The jumper didn't come along the way you hoped it might. It's just, it's not. And his rim protection, you have to have him at the five. But Okafor, you can't put anywhere else. Jahlil Okafor cannot guard a pick and roll currently. And that's a huge problem.
What did we see? We saw, it was a gif of, I think it was the Clippers running a pick and roll with DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
And, Jahlil Okafor, actually, like, it wasn't all his bad, but, I mean, yeah, that defense
terrible
just
defense.
Looked.
So, like, what do you give them grade-wise?
Well, just before I get into grade, just, like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm low on Ja. Like, he is incredible on the offensive end. Like, his footwork for a 19-year-old and his ability to just go out and get buckets at any night is really something to be said about. But, it's going to come to a head with this team eventually where you have to trade someone, especially if Embiid ever gives you anything. Like, there's going to have to be a decision made. And it's going to be very interesting because Okafor, when Nerlens missed the game the other night, he had 27-12 and played some of the best basketball of his career. So eventually you're going to have to make that choice. For the Sixers, I'm giving them a D. I really haven't seen, and it would be an F. Like, let's not, if prior to the Ish Smith, it was an F minus. Like, it was horrendous. Ish Smith has made it a little more watchable, but I'm giving them a D. Like, they haven't really, at the end of the day, the draft chips haven't fallen the way you want them to. And I still think we'll have a better idea of what this team is after next draft. But in the meantime, they ain't really getting any better, so I'm giving them a D.
I got a solid C for them. I think that they've been, I think that they've underperformed. I think that that you guys thought they were going to win more games than I did, but I still thought that they were going to be better than they were.
Yeah.
I think they do have a real chance to turn this around, and Ish has been great, but I think that mostly what Ish has shown is how important it is for the Sixers to go out and get a point guard.
A point guard.
Absolutely. Ish is great, but
they've been in
to get it
for
actual
Teague. I actually saw reports
but
that they're talking about Teague.
Like, what, Teague's turned 28?
I don't want Teague at all. That's
I'd rather Schroeder,
Knox,
to be honest.
That's not a knock on Teague as a player. It's just Teague doesn't fit the timeline.
Yeah, I'd rather Schroeder.
So I just think it's really important that they either draft or they find, you know, a young, you know, solid point guard.
And yeah,
I think, but I just think it's so hard to, you know, really look at the talent you have and analyze it not having a real point guard.
Right. I give him a D just because.
So I was the highest on the
You're the highest on everyone.
You're not tough enough on them. No, the only reason
I gave my team an F.
That's it. That's the only everybody team. Else are giving
no,
good grades.
I give the Pelicans a C-.
I give him a D.
Give him a C.
I give him closer to a D.
I'm
minus.
Just saying, the only reason I give him a D is there are two stars that they have and that they're excited about are having trouble playing against each other, and until they fix that, it's not gonna work.
It's not gonna be fixed. Like, let's not be on the bright side. It's not gonna be fixed.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Fix that
I'm
via trade or whatever. So
let's move on to probably the team that I'm mostly excited about to talk in particular episode.
Oh boy.
And every single time I get upset about the Suns, I just think to myself, at least we aren't the Nets.
You're I was right. Gonna say, who's worse, the Nets or the Suns?
Oh, the Nets. The Suns have a few. It's not even close.
The Suns have a future. Right?
Yeah, the Suns. If nothing else, no point. I was gonna say, if nothing else, the Suns have cap space.
Yeah, but the Nets have
draft
picks. But the Nets have Hollis Jefferson. He's coming back hopefully after the All-Star.
I like Hollis Jefferson. Like
Bogdan Bogdanovic, Lopez.
Like, do not get Hollis Jefferson involved in this. But, like, everything else with the Nets, like, oh, they're just so bad. The Nets are so screwed, and I feel terrible for any real Brooklyn fan. Because they all know it. But, like, they have no picks. Right now, they've won 14 games. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They're probably going to ship Boston at the minimum a top five pick this year, if not a top three pick, which is just, like, the ultimate insult that you're giving one of your rivals that high of a draft pick. I mean, You hope if you're the Nets that you can trade Thad Young and that you can trade maybe Brook Lopez for the right price and that you can get anything for the artist known as Joe Johnson. And
well, apparently they're talking about how they're gonna the Nets committee is gonna create a short GM list down to a top two or three people candidates.
Well, even so, you know, Kevin just hit it on the head right there, is that you have no picks.
Well,
really,
the thing,
for 4 or 5 years.
And the thing is, you invested in Lopez and Thad Young as your guys going forward, and that's still the second worst record in the East.
Right. Like, I mean, their offensive rating, they're 28th. Their defensive rating, they're 24th. Their net rating overall, they're 28th.
They get outscored by 12 points per 48 minutes when Lopez is not on the court.
Yeah. Well, it's not that Lopez and Thad are a...
They don't have a point guard to get them the ball.
Well, you know, it's not that, you know, Lopez is, he's made more 2-point field goals than any other player in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Thad's been really solid, but it's just like, obviously, it's not good enough. And if you're looking at the Nets, those two players aren't going to get better over the next 5 years. Those two players are going to decline over the next 5 years. So if I were the Nets, I would be trading them for as many young assets as possible. And frankly, I'd be buying second round picks come draft time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Buying picks. And if you're the Nets, honestly, like, you should be trying to win games here in that regard, because you don't want to just, you got to make that pick as unattractive as it can be. It's great for Boston because, you know, we haven't talked about the big rumor that's floating around, and we're not going to. But Boston, I mean, that pick is so valuable as Boston looks to try to land their superstar when you have a pick that high. But I mean, it's bleak. Like, we don't need to talk about how. Like, there's just, their point guard situation is probably the worst in the league, and that was before Jared Jack got
hurt.
Dude,
I don't know, man. The Suns are running out Archie Goodwin and some guys from the D League.
Saying though, then, man, there is no coach. There is no, like, both coaches, head coaches in New York were fired this season.
Yeah, and it's like Lionel Hollins didn't have anything to really work with to begin with.
Still got a job though.
Yeah, well, that's because the Lakers. They have to be tanking by keeping Byron Scott employed.
They are.
That's the only logic I can keep to it, which is fine. But let's get back to Brooklyn.
Great.
You know, we don't really need to just keep ripping on them the way we do. But I mean, I got to be honest. Like, I'm giving Brooklyn an F. It's an absolute disaster.
Dude, F all the way.
I gave him a D.
For what?
I mean, you still got Thad Young and Brook Lopez. You've got something that you can trade and try to get some stuff back. If you do that,
it's
you'll
true.
Get a D.
I mean, you hope you can get some for Thad
you
Young.
You give
him
a D
Thad
because they have those two players?
Mm-hmm. Because they're playing
well
enough.
You're giving them a D because those players
those two
are on
players
the
are playing well enough that they have value in a trade that you can get some picks and stuff back.
He's right. I'm still giving them an F.
Well, they have to.
But they are quality.
They
players.
Have to,
like,
trade. They don't
that
have a choice.
Mean just because there's good players on the team, the team's been a disaster.
But Thad Young and Brook Lopez have been a bright spot in this shit pile that is the Nets.
But I understand what he's saying.
All right.
All right, so the next team coming up on the list is the Milwaukee Bucks, who frankly have been pretty disappointing this year. They've got 22 wins. They made the playoffs last year as a 6 seed. Everyone had this team gassed as, like, including myself. Like, I was on the Bucks bandwagon. I'm not going to go write revisionist history now. Really, really good defensive team last year that has just taken so many steps backwards this year.
19th in the league for points allowed, 102.9.
They're the worst defensive rebounding team in the league.
They are high on assists, though. Pretty high. They're eighth in the league, 22.9. Look, what did we call them last week? We called them the Hornets of last year.
Right.
They just did not live up to expectation. Giannis didn't take the leap that everybody was hoping for. They traded Dudley, Zaza, Ersin Ilyasova. Like, they took proven guys and went to younger guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I was reading something. They called it, I forget what article it was, but they called it the Bill James notion, that a team that improves one season will decline the next. And I mean, that's what's happened here.
Well, Greg Monroe, that was their big free agent acquisition, and he just hasn't helped them defensively at all. You know, I don't know. I like Chris Middleton a lot. I think that they
Middleton was a second round pick.
Well, and it shows
Chris Middleton's been great.
And it shows where the league has been going, and his skills fit with how the league has been, you know, going more towards the 3-point line. And it's one of those situations where when you buy on a guy like Chris Middleton and you pay him over $70 million, you often worry that you're not going to get your investment. And so far, I think he's been worth every penny that they've given him.
Mm-hmm. So as long as you're going to talk about that. So basically what happened is, anybody that's a Bucks fan knows this, but the Bucks had a choice to make between paying Brandon Knight and Chris Middleton. They decided that they did not want to pay Brandon Knight, and that they wanted to take that money and put it towards...
Who is right?
I mean, you know, I don't really think anybody's ended in that fairly. Yeah. We'll have to see down the road how that turns out once the Suns get the picks. But, I mean, if you look at them, so they decided to take that money and put it into their front court, which they did. They got arguably the highest sought-after center in the league during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
They got the reigning rookie of the year. That didn't work out. And, you know, at the end of the day, this franchise, they went out on a limb. And they made decisions, and I don't even think that those were bad decisions. I think
they were
perfectly understandable.
You can't help that Jabari Parker got hurt, and he's still trying to, you know, figure everything out.
Jabari's still working his way back.
Like, exactly.
When we talk about Jabari and hot takes, like, he absolutely is still working his way back, and like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm down with
Jabari Parker.
Dude, Jabari's
been fine, man. He's been dunking a lot this year.
Yeah, I'm just like,
that windmill and the all-star rising star.
Can we stop talking about the rising stars challenge as a stat? This is like the third time we brought this up.
But he did really nice windmill.
Speaking of stats, Giannis has fouled more than any other player in the NBA this season. He has racked up 177 fouls.
Speaking of,
that's a stat.
I don't want to get too off topic, but did you see Chris Paul jump in front of the player that was going to foul?
I did, yes.
Jordan, yeah. To stop Hacker Jordan. Uh-huh. Smartest move,
dude,
ever.
Good. Well, that rule sucks. It really has ruined basketball. Like, they got to get rid of it. But back to the Bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Carter Williams hasn't been what they wanted him to be, and I think that's a huge problem when you trade a guy like Brandon Knight that you didn't want to pay him. I mean, they're already looking at shopping him, which is a problem. Giannis is starting to string it together. Again, it's more about consistency, and you hope he can still expand that shooting range a little bit. Right. It's like that's such
nice
a big caveat to Giannis taking the leap is his ability to shoot.
Well, and having other shooters on the team. The problem is nobody can shoot on the team.
Right. And they just, they don't have any offense. And last year they were able to get away with it because they have an elite defense. And this year they don't have an elite defense.
The other thing is Jason Kidd hasn't been able to hang out with the team too much because of his hip. You know what I mean? So what would you guys grade?
I would give them like a D plus.
That's actually what I have them at, a D plus. Because
I give them an F.
Just because they didn't meet expectations.
No, like they've severely... Like, I think they made the right moves. Well, not the right moves. I think they made understandable moves. I think as a franchise that's, you know, they're going to be moving to a new arena, I'm pretty sure. And they got to sell those tickets. And I think that they took a chance and they went in a direction, just didn't work out. But they've, you know, frankly, they've been an absolute disappointment.
Okay.
They will be moving to a new arena that is completely funded by the taxpayers. Thank you, Scott Walker.
Yep.
Well, on to the Knicks, 23-32 this season. They are 1-9 going into the All-Star break.
Yeah, they were
very
fine.
Terrible.
Well, we talked about them last week and how in January they were, they were sitting at 500, and then they just started losing.
Yep.
You know, the bright spot again, if you're looking at this team, is they're the best free throw shooting team in the league, 80%. The problem is that they're only getting to the line a league average. Also, Melo's assist percentage is up to 22% this year, highest in his career. So
he's kind of playing a different game.
He's playing the type of ball everyone said that he should always be playing, but it's not going noticed, unfortunately, because they haven't been that great. But again, the elephant in the room is Derek Williams has a player option next year. How do they keep Derek Williams?
Okay. We're not even going to entertain this. Let's move on to players that matter.
Carmelo Anthony has almost 4 assists per game. He leads the team in assists, which is very surprising.
And Calderon's been a
I shouldn't say he's been a disappointment. He's been what a lot of people thought he was going to be, but they need to play Langston Galloway and Grant a bit more.
Well, it's just their bench is getting outscored. I mean, they're outscored by almost six points per 100 possessions,
which
when
is
they
surprising.
Don't have three starters on the floor.
Derek Williams.
You know, Calderon is who he is at this point. Like, he's been the team's best shooter, which is, okay.
I'm just saying, nobody else other than Melo and really Porzingis matter on this team. There's those two. Porzingis is the future. Melo is the guy you invest
a lot
of
Robin
money
Lopez.
In.
Lopez. Like, he's one of the signings that I like. I think he's been really good at, kind of just a solid number
and
five
he's remained
guy.
Healthy. That's
and he's
the,
been
no,
yeah. always, always been healthy for the most
Dude,
part.
Robin just, Lopez is great.
Yeah, like, he's a real solid player that, like, that was one of their signings they get. Aflalo's all right. He's a little too streaky for me. But, I mean, yeah, they just fired Derek Fisher. Like, we'll see what the coaching change does. I think Porzingis hit the rookie wall, which, again, not the end of the world. I said that on last week.
Points
episode.
In the Rising Star Challenge, just saying.
Yeah. Oh my God, if you guys, I swear to God, I'm going to walk out of this podcast if you guys keep bringing up the Rising Stars Challenge.
I will say, speaking of, you just brought up coaching, Kevin, is that Brian Shaw, 13 hours ago, said that he can run any style of offense that the Knicks want. So it looks like Brian Shaw's kind of vying for that coaching job.
Well, he's been in that mix for a while, and Brian Shaw, like, he was such a highly touted coach by everyone when he went to Denver, and God, it was just such a dumpster fire when he coached in Denver. So maybe, I mean, I don't want to say I'm down on Brian Shaw, but I'm a little more wary than I would have been a few years ago, put it that way. But I think he could, but I think he fits, though. Like, I don't think it would be the worst hire that the Knicks could go out and get.
It looks like Kyle O'Quinn has dropped out of the rotation for him a bit, and then they're also keeping one of their three leading scorers on the floor at all times, whether that's Melo, Aflalo, or Porzingis. Not really sure why they aren't playing Derek Williams a little bit more, but it looks like he's starting to fall out of rotation for him. They really, again, not to beat a dead horse, but they got to figure out what they're going to do with Derek Williams and his player option.
What are you going to do when Derek Williams finally, like, gets out of the NBA?
I don't think that's going to happen for a good 10 years.
10?
Okay.
Holy shit.
How much you want to bet on that? Seriously, like, I'm putting you on the spot. How much you want to bet on that? I will hold this bet for a decade.
I know you will, man.
He will send a reminder.
Seriously,
dude,
what do you want to bet?
Kevin does not let things go out of, like, everybody I've ever met, man. Kevin has the hardest time letting things go. I fully, fully believe that
what
is
do you
the
mean?
Truth. Look at your Facebook friends.
Why
you
about my Facebook
friend?
You do
not let things go. You do
I don't,
not let
why?
Because
I don't delete Facebook friends?
Yes, ever.
Because I don't like, take...
Have you ever deleted a person?
No, but it's not worth the time.
So you've never once deleted a friend off Facebook?
No. There's no reason.
Not one time?
But, like, there's no reason.
As human beings... Is that before social media, before the advent of social media, people would come in and out of your life and that was natural. But all of a sudden with social media, we don't let people come in and out of our lives and we keep them around for extended periods of time that it's okay to meet somebody and have that experience and move on.
But I do move on. I'm not talking to all my Facebook friends on a daily basis. I guess, like, I don't understand. I think you put more significance into Facebook friends than I do. Like, if I'm friends with you on Facebook, like, I generally just kind of click yes to everybody as long as we have mutual friends. Like, me taking the time to go and delete people off Facebook is me investing time that I think could be better spent
question
elsewhere.
For
it is
you.
Okay to let people go, being human beings.
But
I don't
understand.
Need to see my ex's pictures and every single girl that I've ever hooked up with roll up on my Facebook timeline. That dude that I had a couple of beers with 3 years ago.
But why do you care, though?
Because I don't care. Because I don't need those memories showing up. You know, it's okay to move on.
But, like, who cares? Like, you're putting so much emotional stock into them, and I'm not. Like,
but you care so much that you won't do it.
I care so little that I won't do it. It's not a care too much. I care so little that I literally don't know how to delete friends from Facebook. I'm also, like, of the belief that somebody has something to offer. You never know when you're going to need something. So much of today's world is networking. The more connections I have, the more of an ability I have to network. It's not like I'm talking to all these people all the time. It's not like I'm talking. I haven't talked to some people on Facebook in probably 7 or 8 years.
I don't think it's healthy.
Question for you guys. What would you grade the Knicks?
honestly, I'm gonna give them a B-. I think that they have, apart from this recent losing streak, that they were actually pretty good. Yeah. I think that Derek Fisher was getting a lot out of some of their bench guys in particular. Derek Williams has been good. Langston Galloway's been good for him. Lance Thomas was actually all right for him. I give him a solid B-.
Yeah, I gave him a C+. It's a good turnaround from last year. They had a pretty pretty bad year last year. Right. So everything's looking on the upswing. So I give him a C plus.
Yeah, I'll give him a solid C. You know, I like Porzingis' development. You know, Melo's still there. He's like Tim said, he's starting to adjust a little bit. I don't know if it's too late in the timeline, but that's something. You know, they're obviously better than last year, which, you know, it could really only go up after last year. You know, there's encouraging pieces of the Knicks moving forward. I hope that them firing Derek Fisher doesn't turn back into the cycle that was the 2000s, which is probably the nicest thing I've ever said about the Knicks.
It looks like Kevin Durant wasn't too happy with that firing, too. Guess we should. Herzogna, spectacular at the 2016 Rising Star Challenge.
I was kind of surprised he was there. I guess so. We're moving on to the Magic.
Herzogna has to be there for the world.
I'm kind.
God, just like I don't. Oh, did you even watch this game?
No.
I watched a little bit of it. But I saw enough to see the dunk.
You know, for you guys banning All-Star, you know, for you guys banning and boycotting All-Star
we've watched
Weekend,
more than
you're
him.
Certainly watching more of it
Here's
than I
my
have.
Thing.
I don't have cable. I'm going to watch it today, as later today when it
but
comes on.
But there's no
League
takeaways
Pass.
That
Here's
can be taken away
thing.
From the Rising Star game. They don't play defense.
My thing.
That's like me saying, oh, the MVP race can be decided by the All-Star game.
Yeah, Devin Booker was great, man.
My thing about the Magic is I think you have a lot to be excited about Elfrid Payton. He's finding his three-point shot. He's shooting 36% from three this year. But in the last 10 games, that's up to 44%. He's averaging almost six assists per game. I was watching one game where he was, Tim, I know you hate it, had a double-double, but I mean, the passes he was making were just so
beautiful.
Elfrid
Payton has been better.
Yeah, my roommate doesn't like his hair. I think his hair is awesome.
Well, who hates it? Who doesn't like Elfrid Payton's hair?
Dude, your
he
roommate
like it.
Hates a lot of things. It seems like the problem with the Magic right now in their starting front court is that it doesn't really look like you can play Oladipo and
Yeah, I think
Elfrid
you're
going
to have
together.
To make a trade. No. I heard there were rumors Oladipo fatigue type stuff.
But you just don't. I don't want to sell that low on Oladipo, though. That's such a high pick to sell low on this early in his career.
See, you're so funny about those high picks because for Oladipo, you're like, it's too high you guys and for Jahlil, you're talking about like it may be okay to trade
no,
him.
No, but I wouldn't. No,
but
no,
then
no,
we'll
no,
talk
no,
about
no,
Jabari
no, no.
Parker, and you're like, I'm kind of giving up on too early. I'd trade him. So it totally
no, no, no,
depends
no, no, no,
on you.
No, but it's not. No, but it depends on the offers. I would trade. I'm not encouraging trading Okafor or Jabari Parker. I'm not saying that either team should do that. I'm saying though, if the right price comes along,
well, sure. If
I would
someone
move
offers
him.
Me
like,
LeBron
if,
James,
if the
I'll
same
do it.
Price comes along for Oladipo too, but no, like a realistic price, not LeBron James, like. If the right offer comes along for Oladipo, I agree. Like, I would move on Oladipo, too, but I liked so much of Oladipo's playing over the first 2 years that I'm not ready to give up on him yet. It's all about fit. It's all about, you know, they have to. I would move from Elfrid before I'd move from Oladipo.
Well, so, and here's the other thing that's kind of excited. Harris, Fournier, Vukovic, Oladipo, and Elfrid Payton, they're all 25 years or younger, and they're playing almost 30 minutes per game.
Well, yeah, but Tobias Harris, just like, I've said this all along, there's such a repetitive signing for the Magic. He doesn't fit their like
so they he's on the trade market right now. They're paying him $16 million a year. I don't know who's gonna bite on Tobias Harris
no,
for 16
that, well
mil.
That's the whole
well,
problem.
You have to have
it's
the money
terrible.
To send back. So those larger contracts like Joe Johnson or you know, Horford's actually, we haven't gotten to the Hawks yet, but you know, he's making $12 million. That's a really doable trade scenario for a lot of teams.
Yeah,
but the thing
I
with Harris is his goes down over time, if I remember correctly.
Sure, but it's just like you're paying a lot of money for a guy who's
year,
really
though.
Average right. Like Tobias Harris to me is the definition of an average player. They got way too much money.
So Aaron Gordon, I think he's going to be an absolute star. I think when he puts it together that he's just going to be fantastic. We put up a poll on our Facebook page. Who do you think had the best dunk of the All-Star contest?
Yes.
Not to give it away, but my vote went to Aaron Gordon. They have plugged him
Will
in
Barton.
For Channing Frye. So they've made, you know, since January, the Magic have won two games since the beginning of January. So they've been bad.
But the thing is, so then the thing was like, were they kind of overachieving in the beginning?
Yeah, they were definitely overachieving.
Well, I mean,
the Magic like aren't that good. Like everyone talks about the Magic at the beginning of the year, where like the Magic are the definition of how you rebuild a team and you don't need to tank. Like, no, they're not. The Magic aren't that good.
Dude,
they're a superstar away. They're like the Celtics.
No, they're not.
No.
They have a few nice pieces. The Boston is the third best team in the East. They are truly a star away and are borderline there now. Like Orlando is just not that good. They've never been good for the past 6 years.
I mean, they've got a lot of really good pieces that don't fit all that great together. Like they got Aaron Gordon. They have
Orlando's starting line. Like, his net rating is +7.
Yeah, like the Magic have all the pieces to be good. They just, those pieces don't fit together, and they need to figure out a way to make that happen, whether that be the trade
I just wait for the breakthroughs on these guys, and they don't happen. Like, I mean, Azonia's young, but like, I got to see more out of Aaron Gordon. I don't see anything in Tobias Harris. I got to, you know, we know what Vucevic is at this point. Fournier is a nice piece, but
they're going to have a real decision to make
so
with him this offseason, too.
Yeah.
So, grades, what do you guys think?
I gave him a C+. I mean, they overachieved. They're kind of slowing down now. That's why I think I kind of gave him a lower rating. But that, I mean, Oladipo taking the demotion in stride when he moved to the bench was, instead of, I guess, being too pouty about it, he kind of took it as it is, and it worked for the team. Like I said, +7 net rating for the starters. So I give him a C+.
All right, yeah, I had a C+ as well.
I'm gonna give him a C. They overachieved. Like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm down in Orlando. It's just like they have all these nice pieces, and we keep talking about like the jump that they're gonna make. But okay, like, how many high picks are you gonna have before something happens?
Well, I guess we'll maybe say the same thing about the Sixers in a year or two. Right?
No, it absolutely will be valid in a year or two with the Sixers. The Sixers are like the Magic are in 2 years. I'm gonna be equally as frustrated as I am with Orlando. I just, like, I keep talking about, everybody keeps talking about how Orlando is gonna be great, and like, I gotta see it.
I know. I wish I'm actually going to see Orlando beginning of March to go see the Phoenix Suns play him. So that should be a good dumpster fire of a game.
Yeah, you're probably going to be able to move up real close.
Yeah, the Magic are going to win.
those seats are really expensive too, man.
Oh,
yeah. You know, I'm looking on SeatGeek right now, and I put in my email. So when the seats lower, they're gonna, you know, send me an email and let me know. But you know, you're still looking at a good like $120 a ticket for lower level.
Oh, you gotta remember too, Orlando, just with the market, it's their only professional team. Mm-hmm. There's no hockey in Orlando. There's no baseball. There's no football. Excuse me. So, you know, people go hard. You know, if you get a good fan base, people with one city and one team will rally around. I mean, that's why, like, Portland, for example, has had one of the most consistent
Portland,
fan
like,
bases.
They love the Trailblazers.
Yeah, and they've had one of the most consistent, passionate fan bases. Oklahoma City is another one where they only have one team there, so everybody goes hard. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to part one of our midseason review of the Drive-In Dish NBA podcast. We appreciate you guys, as always. We're going to have part two and part three later up this week. Check it out on iTunes, and if you're not an Apple user, we're on all sorts of different formats. The Google Play Store is coming up soon. We'll be on there, but in the meantime, we're on Stitcher, we're on Player FM, so make sure you go and check that out. And all our episodes, I should say, are up at driveanddishpodcast.com.
Yes, and if you want to talk with us on social media, you can hit us up at driveanddishnba on Twitter, and also driveanddishpodcast on Facebook.
And don't forget to vote in the Facebook poll, too.
Yes.
We're going to read the results next week.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. I think we've done enough dancing for today, so why don't we dance Wednesday?
Be a star side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Get in the hole!
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da.
Hey! Let's go while we're young!
All right, I think they get the point.